This is the Fantasy Road Show.
Heyo, welcome in to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show with your host, Culls and Truck. And we are joined today, again, this is a weekly occurrence. You guys better know this by now. This is Shane O'Mac. Shane, Culls, how you guys doing today? You guys ready to get into a little red light, green light?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Right. I very badly need to open this guy right here.
Oh, what do you got, peach vibe? I got a little Arctic.
Yeah,
Hey, what do you got?
I got the orange still. I got last one to get rid of. So
nice. Cheers, boys.
Cheers. Yeah, I need this one badly. I've been up since 2:45, just
grinding that waiver wire.
Sharked the waiver wire. And then got up at what, 3 whatever, and been at it since then. So I'm it's been a nice, you know, 7.5 hours of
every Wednesday, man. Every Wednesday I have to be up for the waiver wire. Here we are.
But yes, here we are. Sure you follow us on Twitter at @fantasy_trucker. Shane is at @S_McCormick_FF. Culls at @Culls_sports. Follow the show at Fantasy Roadshow. Check out the YouTube at youtube.com/sportsethos. Follow the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. All right. Well, boys, you guys got any updates in life? What's going on? Anything you want to talk about before we dive in here to this very important episode?
Honestly, I was just thinking it's another reason why I just need to give up redraft is waking up at 2:45, 3 a.m. on Wednesdays.
Yeah, you know, with Dynasty, the rosters are so deep. The Dynasty rosters are so deep that realistically your waiver wire isn't as active as redraft. So, yeah. And then best ball, there is no wire, so we're good to go.
save me a lot of energy on Wednesday.
And all those guys that just spent 90% of their fab budget on Jerome Ford are just waking up and crapping their pants this morning, worrying.
Thank you for bringing this up. Yeah, the news just came through. Kareem Hunt signs a 1-year deal with the Browns. Shane, what's your initial reaction to the Kareem Hunt news?
So I think obviously he's not going to do anything this week, but he's going to have at least a 1B or 2 role for the rest of the year. Maybe similar to what he did, you know, when he was there prior. But when I look at the deal, $4 million, you know, it's a decent investment they made in him for signing him for 1 year. So it tells me they want to bring him in to at least cut into some of that workload on Ford. If I spend a bunch of money on Ford, you know, it's not quite as exciting now, but.
Yeah, I don't think what we want to make clear, I think we all agree on this, that Kareem Hunt is not being signed to be the lead back. So don't anticipate this as something that it's not. Kareem Hunt is not coming in to take the majority of the workload from Jerome Ford. Jerome Ford is the guy moving forward. They really like Jerome Ford. And he's just going to be an auxiliary piece to this offense. So, Mike, you agree with that? You don't have any other objections to that?
No, I actually think that Kareem Hunt holds less value than Jerome Ford did before the Chubb injury. I have a hard time thinking that Fournette or Hunt at this point are going to come in and have any fantasy value. Like, they've been worked out multiple times and no one signed them. I think that's for a reason. I think the reason why the Colts, who were like super bullish on signing him, didn't, supposedly he like failed his physical.
Yeah.
I don't think he's good. He wasn't really good last year for them. So you bring in a guy who's familiar, like, and knows the playbook and knows what they want to do. But Ford looked so good last week that, like, unless he shows anything other than that, then I just don't see Hunt coming in and shining. That's just my personal opinion.
I got an interesting stat update here. Kareem Hunt's last 20 games, the last 20 games that he played, 146 carries, 559 rushing yards, 3.8 a carry, and 4 total touchdowns in 20 games. So that shows you right there, you know, the reason why the Browns kind of got rid of him is, you know, they weren't happy with the production. So don't expect him to come in and be a world beater or a league winner. So
he just knows the playbook. It was a no brainer.
Yeah, it's a nice backup to have in case something, God forbid, happens to Ford. But yeah, Ford's the guy. Ford looked great. And don't be salty if you dumped all your fab on Ford. That's still a good move.
I mean, I put $75 on him in one league.
Did you get him?
I had Chubb in that league. Yeah, and I think the most behind me was like 67.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like I was totally happy with that. I had Chubb. I had fucking Bijan and Chubb were my workhorses, and Chubb goes down, so I'm like, fuck this, I'm getting Ford. Like,
yeah, honestly, if I don't have a league where I had Chubb and I was able to get Ford, but if that was the case, I don't know, I probably would have put more than 75. Like, I would have been nervous about not getting him. I would have dumped a ton. So
this league's it's a work league, and it's really conservative with fab.
Okay.
All and right. I looked at the next, there's one other guy there's one guy that knows fantasy football really well, and he was at, I think, 62, so he put all of his fab, or no, 67, so I was gonna do 68 or 69 for Gronk, but I ended up going 75 just in case. But
yeah,
I specifically looked at his fab and I was like, all right, I know I need to be higher than that.
Yeah,
I think he might have gotten Kyren Williams last week. That's why, whatever. But yeah, it was one. I kind of knew 75, I'd be safe, so that's what I did.
Yeah,
I would have won 100. Like, I just don't. I'm not a fab guy. Like,
no, but that was a great move.
I know.
In a home 75. League, that was awesome. I commend you for that.
You just got to know your league too, right? Like, that's more of like a casual league. So. I just know, and there's small benches, so like there's guys out there, and I have faith in my ability to use that wire weekly and find those guys that, whatever. So, anyways,
yeah, those hitchhikers, you really picked one up there, huh?
Pick them
up.
All right, anyway, so let's hop right into it. Without further ado, everybody buckle up. All right, Shane, how about you kick us off today, this week? Give me a red light quarterback. Who are you pumping the brakes on? Who are you switching lanes with?
All right, I am giving the red light stop signed to a guy we all had on the green last week, but I'm giving a stop to Daniel Jones this week.
Love it.
Just a couple things I don't like. Obviously, Saquon Barkley's out, so that safety valve, that easy dump off capability is gone. And then the matchup against the 49ers is just extremely tough. He didn't look great, obviously, until the final two quarters last week when he was came back from that huge deficit. But I think it's going to be a really, really tough game this week.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Just wanted to be known, I had Daniel Jones on my red light week one. He got 4 points. I had Daniel Jones on my green light week two. He got 34 points. And now I am right along with you. I got Daniel Jones on my red light. He was flip-flopping. Okay, Daniel Jones, you can start him, and then you can't. Don't start Daniel Jones this week. If you got a better option, look elsewhere. For everything that Shane just said, I would just reiterate that those were great points, and I got nothing else to add. Daniel Jones is a sit for me.
Listen to Truck. He's the DJ Whisperer.
Got my finger on the pulse.
I'm looking through. I should be more prepared than I am today. I had Daniel Jones as well. All three of us had Daniel Jones as our green light. So, round of applause for us. He was QB1.
Mm-hmm.
Great job, boys.
He did not look like that way in the first half, and then he had.
No, he didn't.
So what do you think? Did the Giants play good and got momentum, or are the Cardinals just blatantly tanking?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. Usually you would see it for the Giants, Saquon Barkley is able to kickstart that offense and then get Daniel Jones rolling after that. But it was the exact opposite last week. Daniel Jones in that second half was put the team on his back and kind of did it all himself. And the Cardinals were just kind of had a bad game.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily what I'm alluding to. They like their offense was humming in the first half, getting McBride, getting Ertz. Like they just seemed like they could do whatever they want with that Giants defense, who's now been torched two straight weeks. But then all of a sudden, like, they lose everything in the second half. And then the same thing with the Commanders. Like, they were winning for three quarters of that game, and then they're just like, screech. It's the reason why they got rid of Colt McCoy, right? Like, Dobbs looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Do they just say, like, hey, Dobbs, stop, and he stops? Because Colt McCoy wins that game up, what, four scores in the first half? Like, he's just a smart enough veteran quarterback that he wins that game. So you bring in Dobbs, you switch up the play calling, you make it a little bit more aggressive. You know, maybe you run the ball the first two downs and then throw some deep bullshit down the seam. I just, like, it's too obvious for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, Coles, did you have another one that you wanted to add, or should we
red light bump quarterback? It over to
Shane? Yeah,
I mean, like, no brainer one, Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
Belichick.
Do not start Zach Wilson in any matchup. Just sit it.
Well, Belichick. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't even need to say it. Belichick's 4-0 against, like, the Jets with Zach Wilson. I think he's just absolutely made him look like a fool every time he's gone against him. So that was my no-brainer one. I don't think I even really needed to say that. But, I mean, if I'm saying, like, if you have him as your super flex quarterback, this would be a week that I would start Matt fucking Breida over him.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Taysom Hill had nine carries for 70 yards last week.
maybe not Matt Breida that aggressive, but I would start a position player. Yeah. I would start like a PPR, maybe even like a Tank Dell, who should be getting like 5 to 6 catches a game moving forward. Someone that has like a pretty good shot to get you 10 points. That's going to be more than Zach Wilson this week. But anyways, Derek Carr is a guy who just, like, does he not play well on the road? He's like a different quarter. I haven't figured out if it's a road thing or what it is for Derek Carr, but he looks like two different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Too many times throughout a season. I mean, it was the same thing with the Raiders when he'd throw for 350 yards and a few touchdowns. And there's games where he just does not look good. I think it's going to be that this is going to be one of those games. Looking at, Packers in Green Bay. To me, it's just going to be one of those, like, Packers grind it out type low scoring games where their defense plays well. Saints do have a good defense also. So I don't necessarily think the Packers are going to, like, blow them out by any means. I just think it's going to be one of those, you know, Lambeau fall games where both defenses show up and Carr just doesn't really ever seem to get it going. So I don't know if you guys have anything to add there.
No, I agree with that. I don't know, Shane, how do you feel about Carr?
Yeah, but it's a kind of good segue to my other guy. So I had Jordan Love in that same game.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be this temptation maybe for some people to start him. He's got 6 touchdowns in 2 games. And so people see that maybe as appealing. But, you know, kind of as you referred to, the Saints defense, they're first in passing touchdowns allowed. I mean, they've allowed the fewest amount of passing touchdowns in the league and like the sixth fewest passing yards. So they're pretty stingy against the pass.
Yeah. It's a over unders at 43. I think that goes under. I think it's going to be one of those, like, I mean, kind of like the Saints had that the first game against the Titans. I think it ended up being like 19-16, 16-15. You know, and then they won 20-17 in Carolina. So I think this game is going to be like, I don't know, like 14-10, 17-10, just low scoring kind of gritty type game where Aaron Jones looks to be back, right? I think that's, have we had any updated news there?
No practice reports. I've seen like full practices or anything yet, but I was surprised.
I think he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
What'd you guys say? You're both talking.
My bad. I think he's trending in the right direction, but there's no official news yet.
Well, right.
The understanding that I had was like, it wasn't an egregious injury. It was just kind of a hammy. So let's sit him, get him healthy, and then, you know, bring him back in. So it's going to be one of those Aaron Jones games where I think he may have a decent game. But you could see most of what Love gets going is, you know, screen passes to Jones, kind of what you saw early on against the Bears when they started to get that offense going. But yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good segue, what you just said, Mike. My next red light is someone I mentioned last week. I sound like a broken record, and I'm going to say it again. Justin Fields is not in my starting lineup, okay? From what we've seen from the Bears, there's no reason to have Justin Fields in your starting lineup. He was QB, what, 15 week one, QB 20 week two, right around 15 fantasy points a game. Like, there's better options out there. There's probably a better one on your bench. There might be a better one on your waiver wire. Look elsewhere. He's going against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. The Chiefs are going to be able to score on the Bears early and often, which is going to cause Justin Fields to throw the ball, which we know what's going to happen. He's going to throw interceptions. It's just it's bad. This week is not going to be any different. You know, maybe the coaches smarten up and decide to run the ball with him, and maybe he keeps his game alive by you know, two rushing touchdowns, but having only 150 throwing. And so I don't know. I could be wrong here, but I haven't been wrong. I wasn't wrong last week. QB 20, red light. I got him on the red light again, and I'm looking elsewhere.
It turns out I owe you an apology for saying, do not start Jordan Love over.
Yeah.
Over Justin Fields.
When you said that, I was like, maybe I do need to calm down. I do need to calm down, pump the brakes, keep Fields in, hope for the best.
Yeah. I mean, if there was a game for him to show up, it was going to be that one.
Look, it doesn't help when the Bears call three straight screen passes to end the game and just completely shit the bed play calling. Yeah. What do you expect is going to happen? That's the best call.
Whatever. I do want to say I am not a Bears fan. If I was a Bears fan, I would be cheering for the first pick already this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be ordering, just so you know, I'm ordering a Caleb Williams jersey, and I will be wearing a Caleb Williams jersey while I watch every Bears game for the rest of the season.
Rooting for them to lose, but root for Carolina to keep losing.
Yeah.
Yes. They're 0-2. Yeah.
Caleb and Harrison.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, like, they just need a clean house too. Like, their coaching staff is just such dog.
Get them all out.
Get everyone out. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a sad thing. But yeah, let's move on.
Yes. All right, Mike. Why don't you kick off a green light quarterback?
Well, Shane, do you have any more red lights?
No, that was my two.
Yeah, Daniel Jones and Jordan Love.
Yep.
Okay. Zach Wilson, shocker. Derek Carr for me. You, Ryan, you had Fields. Did you have
Fields and Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
The DJ Whisperer. green light quarterbacks. So I have, I kind of packaged two together because they're in the same game, Kirk Cousins and Josh Herbert. You know, Joshy boy. I just think that's going to be another shootout in Minnesota in that dome. I actually kind of like the Chargers to win that game. I just think the Vikings are going to continue their slide, but I think both teams are going to put up a lot of points based on the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would like to put in some green light wide receivers from both of those teams as well. Where does that come? I don't know. We'll find out, but I think Mike Williams might have a big week given Keenan's had two touchdowns last week. I like that game. There's going to be a lot of points. If I was if I was a DFS guy, I would pretty much stack that entire game. Yeah, Cousins, Herbert. My other quarterback is Russell Wilson. I think was he, QB3 last week?
He had a big game.
300, three touchdowns. Going to Miami. I think it's a 6.5-point spread. I like the Broncos to cover that. I think the Dolphins are just a little bit overvalued right now. 2-0. Had that, game of the week in week one, and then on prime time beat the Pats. So I think they're a little overvalued. And I think the Broncos are just, it has not been their offense. It's been their defense, surprisingly, that's been losing them in those games. So
yeah,
I like to see Russell continue to spread the ball and put up some big points in Miami. I could see that game going way over the 48 number that's currently on the board. So shoot out in Miami, and Russell's going to have a big day because of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we saw what he did last week with a close game, and I think it'll be somewhat the same. You know, this Denver Broncos defense is pretty susceptible right now, and that Miami team is the best in the NFL, I would say. Close to it, but they're easily the best in the AFC right now, and they're humming, so expect that to continue this week. I don't know, Shane, what do you got on that?
Yeah, I shared the same one with you. I'm on Cousins this week for my green lights. The two things. One, Chargers, they're just horrible against the pass. They're 31st in the league points allowed to quarterbacks through 2 weeks. But then second, much to the dismay of my Alexander Madison preseason love, that team cannot run the ball so far this year. So they have to throw it.
Another big day for Hawk. Is he just going to continue to be lights out?
Yeah, probably. The other thing to watch is what I've seen the first 2 weeks is Jordan Addison's usage and route ran has increased. So that may also continue.
That was a swing and a miss for me. Was Addison. I put a hard fade on him just because, like, everyone was all over his dick. And I just, that's usually not a very good sign when everyone is on him. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to play contrarian on this and just feel like I don't know. That was a swing and a miss. He's going to have an awesome year.
Yeah. He just looks like a really, really good wide receiver. Like,
awesome year pending what I still think is going to happen to the Vikings. So it looks like I'm going to be very wrong, but I'm telling you, I still think this Vikings team is going to be falling, and it's going to cause it's going to cause a lot of problems in Minnesota. Jefferson being unhappy and just that running back. Something's going to fall apart in Minnesota. I'm going to just be on record, continue to be on record with that. Barring that, I mean, Addison looks great. He just looks awesome catching the ball.
Yeah, I agree. And for those reasons, I have Kirk on my green light list as well. We all agree on Daniel Jones being a red light, and we all agree on Kirk Cousins being a green light. So if you guys are out there and you drafted Kirk and D Jones, start Kirk.
I didn't have DJ on mine. I didn't have my DJ on mine, but on my red light, but I do agree with you guys on that. We have to come up with something to do for some kind of a cheer situation when we
sweep it.
Yeah, when we sweep the board on someone.
Sweep the leg.
That's something to think about. We gotta make note of that.
Yeah, yeah, but for all the reasons you guys said, I mean, the Chargers right now have let up the most passing yards out of any defense. And I just, you know, Kirk has been throwing the ball pretty well. So I don't think that changes this week. Expect a big week out of Justin Jefferson, too. He's going to eat. But, yeah, I got Kirk. And then my other green light is Jared Goff. Jared Goff going against Atlanta. Last season, he averaged 21 points, over 21 fantasy points at home. Last week, he got over 22, throwing 3 touchdowns. He had a big week. And if you look at the stats, Atlanta's defense has been pretty good over the first two games, but they played Carolina and they played Green Bay, two inexperienced quarterbacks. You're going against Goff, who's a well-versed veteran right now. And you know, that offense is doing really well. So, I think the, Jared Goff and the Lions, could beat Atlanta and Goff could have a big game.
Yep, I'm with you. That was my other guy. I mean, it's I think you just we have enough data just to look when Goff is playing at home, unless it's against, you know, a Browns defense or a Cowboys or an elite defense. I mean, pivot to him. Like you said, his last year, I think they were over 30 points a game when they played at a home, and most of those are going to be Goff throwing. And you know, maybe we see even a little bit more now with no David Montgomery. If they get down in the red zone, maybe it's even a little bit more throwing than they would have done before.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, you got anything to add to that?
No, I have Daniel Jones in a couple leagues and I'm looking for replacements in my starting lineup.
That's how you do it.
I love it. On the spot. You heard it here first. We're getting into it.
The only issue is my backup. I picked up Anthony Richardson before last week, and I don't think he's playing either, right?
Yeah, concussion protocol. I don't know.
Didn't he have two straight concussions?
Two straight concussions?
Or no, was it a knee in game one? No, it was a concussion in game one, too. I think they're both concussion protocol. He got pulled for either a knee or a concussion, but I thought it originally they thought it was his knee, but then it was his head.
Oh, I didn't notice that he had
regardless, two straight games leaves both of them. If he could stay on the field, he would be awesome, is what it's looking like, but
yeah. All right, well, let's jump to running backs. Calls, do you want to kick us off? Red light running back.
I got Najee Harris because he looks like he's slow motion this year. And I got Derrick Henry. I said in the last write-up that I'm going to be all over running backs against the Browns, and I'm just going to continue to do so. I mean, did you guys watch that game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How freakish that D line is, man. Like,
yeah. I mean, Myles Garrett is like, you know, everyone talks about Nick Bosa. Everyone talks about TJ Watt, Micah Parsons, but like, dude, Myles Garrett is fucking dominant.
Dude, like, he's huge. Yeah. He was my defensive player of the year, this year. So, hopefully the Browns can win games. They should have won that game, man. But
Micah Parsons seems to have that award locked in right now. If he doesn't win overall MVP, like there's conversations.
TJ Watt,
dude, I don't know. He's not having the fucking year that Micah Parsons.
TJ Watt had 3 sacks game one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. TJ Watt is playing very, very well.
3 sacks game one, and then a defensive touchdown to win the game in game two.
Yes, but look at the teams, though. Steelers versus the Cowboys. Everyone's fully bullish on the Cowboys being the Super Bowl favorite. Steelers are not being talked in that same conversation. So, like, in that aspect, dude, Micah Parsons is literally in conversations right now to be an overall MVP, like to win the quarterback award as the most valuable player on any team. Micah Parsons is in that conversation. So if he doesn't win that, he's locked in a defensive player of the year. I mean, Shane, you're the Cowboys truther over here. Like, I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah, no. And, but like, you don't like see like how many times that guy is, there's two things, how many times he's double team, triple team, but like he will line up right over the guard and center even, and come in and beat them for tackles for losses. So that's the other thing. I mean, not just sacks, but I think he had 5 tackles for losses last week, which don't get talked about as much as the sacks or the fumble recoveries. But I mean,
and then he crawls on the ground like a fucking animal. Like, you guys, he's crazy, man. The guy's awesome. I love it. I love it.
FanDuel has Micah Parsons as the 18th topped odds. He's number 18 in top odds. Number 2 non-quarterback behind Tyreek Hill. So if those are conversations that are happening in sports media, then it's probably like Colin Coward, who just has no clue.
It was honestly, if you being frank, it was Mike Greenberg on Get Up in the Morning. I love that show, but I don't listen to Colin Coward. I don't listen to Colin Coward. No, yeah, no, you're right. It's sports media. I get it, but I mean, that's how dominant Micah Parsons is looking with this defense that's one of the best.
Yeah,
in the league.
I mean,
so I'm just saying people are having incredible. These conversations. You know, obviously the betting odds are what they are. The likelihood of him winning MVP
the
is
only
not
conversation that matters is the one that Vegas.
It's a good point. It's a good point, Mike. All right, so you got Najee and Derrick Henry. Shane, what do you got for red light running backs?
I'm going to go. My first guy is going to be Damian Pierce against the Jaguars. There's a couple
Why?
Of things.
He looks so good.
I know. But you know what? Like, people are still starting him across a bunch of leagues. And
I don't
like,
get it.
There's like, he like, you know, last week he had a 45% snap count, 2.5 yards per carry. You know, the Jags, surprisingly, are pretty decent defense. They've only allowed like 80 yards a game rushing. And then I just think they get put into this negative game script this week where they're behind and they're throwing the ball potentially 40 times a game again, which does not help out his stats at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Damian Pierce is on my list as well, Shane. We are like-minded today in all aspects. Yeah, for everything you just said. And also Houston's looking to air the ball out a lot more. You know, Stroud almost 400 yards last week. I mean, for Damian Pierce to have 16 touches a game and can't surpass 6 fantasy points, like, you just what are we doing? You know. So, yeah, I agree, Pierce. And then I also have Henry, too, Mike. I agree with you there, Derrick Henry. Cleveland, third fewest rushing yards allowed this season. Second fewest total points allowed. So they're just holding teams. Their teams aren't scoring on them. And not to mention the Titans, they have been struggling on offense to get going. And I think that continues. That struggle is real against Cleveland. And Henry, along with other players that I might bring up later on this episode, are going to have a bad game. But then someone else I wanted to bring up where I could be wrong here, but if my guy is DeAndre Swift. If Kenneth Gainwell comes back to play, right now he's questionable. There's a chance he doesn't play in which case I could be wrong here. But my anticipation is Kenneth Gainwell is in the lineup. They're going against Tampa Bay, who has allowed the second fewest rushing yards this season. And if Gainwell plays, it's going to be a split backfield in a bad matchup. So I know a lot of people picked up Swift from that big game he had. I just don't see that continuing this week against a really good run defense in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet about Gainwell. Like, I haven't been able to see or hear much about his
status. I had to dig to find Gainwell updates, but the coach is optimistic that he's on the right track to play this week.
Okay.
I want to hold a little bit of a therapy session, Ryan. Where is the DeAndre Swift hate come from? Did you get burned on him in past seasons?
No, it's not. It's not so much DeAndre Swift hate.
DeAndre Swift hate. There is.
There's not DeAndre Swift hate. You're bringing up early on this offseason.
Yes, there is.
Early on this offseason, we got into heated discussions about Rashad Penny and DeAndre Swift.
Against Swift because I like Swift.
Incorrect. I'm not creating bias. I'm looking at the stats and the basics of the matchup. If you let me talk and not talk over me, I'm looking at the matchup. That's a tough matchup against Tampa Bay. If Gainwell plays, it's going to be a split backfield. DeAndre Swift, based on what he did last week, is not going to completely shelf Kenneth Gainwell when he's in the lineup. Kenneth Gainwell will get work. It will be a split backfield. There's maybe 60-40 to Swift, but it's a bad matchup to me, and there's no bias. If this was a good matchup,
there is a route to this, and we are going to find it.
Mike, you can believe what you want. But I'm telling you right now, it's based on the stats right here. Tampa Bay is a tough defense to run against.
Okay.
Kenneth Gainwell is, if he's healthy, I'm not starting Swift.
Okay. We're going to find that route at some point.
Shane, what do you have to add to that? What do you got?
We're going to put Ryan on the couch. We're going to do some therapy. We'll dig deep. We'll find it out.
Yeah.
Hey, I wasn't the one with Swift on the red light last week. That was Shane. That was not me.
That was, yeah. My second guy is, and I think people are going to look at, you know, he scored last week and be like, okay, I'm starting him as my RB2, is Ramondre Stevenson. Let's look past the touchdown. I mean, he was playing against a bad Dolphins rush defense, and he only went 15 carries for 50 yards, which is not great. I just saw, so he's playing the Jets at New York. And I just saw that Jets defense hold Tony Pollard to under 3 yards a carry last week. So I think his rushing is going to be pretty limited in that game for sure.
Yeah, I like that. I completely agree with you there.
Jets defense, Mike, you got anything? Jets defense is just going to continue to be tough.
You know they got to have to be having conversations in that defensive room. Like, guys, if we don't physically win these games, we're not going to win any game. Like, they have to play out of their minds to overcome the inadequacy of Zach Wilson. So,
yep.
All right. Well, you guys good on red lights? Anybody else you want to bring up before we move on to green light running backs?
All good.
Good.
All good. All right, Mike, go ahead. Kick us off.
Green light running backs. I think I've had him on green light every single week. Mr. Bijan Robinson. it's pretty simple. I mean, you've seen what he's done the first 2 weeks. He's had just freakish runs, just absolute highlight reel plays in both games. He's been awesome. I think is on pace for 85 catches in the last however many running backs with over 80 catches have been RB1. So, you know, as long as things continue to ramp up and increase, I think that's where he's headed. At Lions, great matchup. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, if you're not starting Bijan by now, what are you doing? Like, he's a kind of set it and forget it for me. Like, he's that good of a player, what you've seen on the field. He's the real deal. And he deserves to be in the lineup week in and week out.
Yeah, I think for me, like, having him on my green light list here is more so, like, target him in DFS because you're going to spend money on him, but he's going to, you know, he's the most surefire top five running back. I mean, I guess you can kind of say right now CMC is more so, but Shanahan's come out and said that he needs to get Elijah Mitchell more involved. I think they may try to do that on a short week. You don't want your star player to, you know, come off 20, whatever, however many touches he had, 20, getting tackled 25 times, 4 days, run him out there and that you're going to win. So I can see Mitchell being called upon quite a bit here on Thursday night. But yeah, anyways, Bijan.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I've been kind of shocked by the fact that they haven't really been utilizing Elijah. I thought they would definitely be using him more. So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that. Shane, who do you got for green light running back?
My first guy is Travis Etienne. He's going against Houston, who, you know, they've allowed like 120 yards a game. You know, I just saw Zach Moss last week go for almost 100 yards and a touchdown in his first game back in like over a month. So I think they'll be set in positive game script where Etienne gets at least, you know, 20 to 25 touches, which should put him well over 100 yards and gets, you know, one or maybe two touchdowns.
He is also on my green light list.
Okay. All right. Great minds think alike. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think ETN's going to eat this week. For me, I have my first green light running back, Kyren Williams. If you picked him up, he needs to be started in all leagues. He's the number two running back on the season. He's leading NFL players with 4 touchdowns through 2 weeks. And, I mean, Cincinnati's defense is not very good right now. So, for those reasons, I am starting him. I mean, he put up 28 points on the 49ers last week. I mean, what are we even talking about here? He's like almost matchup proof at this point, the way that the Rams are playing. Stafford's playing well, and I think Kyren's going to continue this this onslaught against the Bengals.
I love hearing you use my tagline, the "what are we even talking about here?"
What are we even talking about? You're rubbing off on me, Coles. What can I say?
Yeah. When Truck and I were on the road together for like whatever it was, a few weeks figuring out this podcast, he was like, I would just say there was something you said at one point that you're like, you just, that's your go-to line, isn't it?
What are we doing? Yeah, I mean, dude, Cincinnati, they've allowed the second most rushing yards this season throughout the first two games. Like, I mean,
Burrow's not playing, right? Like, what's going on there?
I don't think he's playing, but I also don't think the Bengals are willing to come out and say that right now.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I saw something today that Taylor said that he's not going to be healthy for a while.
Yeah, maybe, but he did. And then the other quote was Burrow did say this morning he did feel better than he felt on Sunday at the end of the game, for whatever that's worth. So who knows?
Yeah.
I was looking up some. Yeah, my other green light was ETN, so I'm all good there.
Okay. Shane, what else you got before I list off my last one?
Oh, wait. No. Go for it.
Oh, so my other green light, Chuck, you and I are just like in sync today. It was Kyren. I feel like, you know, I feel like Derek from Step Brothers. Like, we have a thing, you and me across the room, across the screen. We're just in lockstep today, the same guy. So yeah, Kyren Williams, you know, all the stuff you said. And let's not forget like who he did that against last week. It was the 49ers.
Like, so that's such a statement.
Yep.
So do they bring in, do they trade Akers to the Colts for Jonathan Taylor?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, it would, that's such a Rams thing to do, but I don't think
Cup,
that
happens. Have Cup and JT come back at the same time. Rams win this week. They're 2-1. Who do they play week 4?
I mean, yeah, they're all about F them picks, but still. Well,
and you only have Stafford for how much longer? You have in week Colts. Colts week 4. They just swap them right then.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense, but I don't see it happening.
All right. Well, we'll find out about that. The other thing I want to talk about with ETN is, where are my Tank Bigsby guys at? One of the most hyped up players in in preseason. He had zero carries last week. He did have a touchdown week one, but yeah, just wanted to throw that one in there. All right. Well, are we on to receivers? Are you good, Truck?
What's no, I got one more I want to mention. It's Isaiah Pacheco. Going against Chicago. Chicago's defense is bottom of the barrel right now. Very easily you can run on them. And the way I see this game script going is the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points early, and they're just going to run the ball and try to get the game over as fast as possible, because the game's going to be over after the first quarter. So just run out the clock, let it drain. And I think Pacheco is going to eat this week against Chicago.
Eat. Is that because he's the only running back left for you on your dynasty team?
Yeah, something like that. I lose Montgomery. I lose Chubb. And Pacheco, I need you this week, buddy. So, yeah, I'm manifesting some success. Let's go, you know.
I love it. I love it. All right.
All right, we can jump on to red light wide receivers as soon as you guys are ready.
Yeah, you guys start there.
Okay. All right. Why don't I start? I haven't started one yet. I'll go red light wide receivers here. Let me pull up my notes real quick. I'm all over the place. It's DeAndre Hopkins. You know, when I was talking, Shane, come on, Shane. It's DeAndre Hopkins. Okay.
Number one guy.
Yeah. Your number one guy. Yeah. So, Hopkins for me, everything I said, about Derrick Henry in Cleveland, it goes along with this. I probably should have had Tannehill on my red light list, but you shouldn't be starting Tannehill anyway. Hopkins is going to have tough time getting going against this Cleveland defense. Hopkins has been slow to start pretty much over the first 2 weeks. And if I have other options, I'm probably going to be sitting DeAndre Hopkins, who is also on my dynasty lineup, who I probably will be having to start because I don't have any other options.
You got anything to add there, Shane?
Your boy Hop. Yeah, he nailed it. I mean, it's Browns are first in passing touchdowns allowed, second in passing yards allowed. So it's just a horrible, horrible matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'll just fire off my last one right here. It's Hollywood Brown. Arizona sucks. And I just, what else is there to say about that? I think he has a bad matchup this week. And I'm not starting Hollywood unless they have a good matchup. But this week, I believe, who are they playing? I can't remember. I didn't write it down.
Cowboys.
Baby.
What are we talking about? Why are we starting Hollywood? Get him out of your lineup. Red light. Don't go.
And you got any other ones, Shane?
My only other one, I'm going to call this. This is my Zach Wilson call. So I'm going with Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, some people are saying like Mac Jones, they've thrown the most pass attempts in the league. He's gotten 13 targets over the first two weeks. So maybe I can flip him in there as a wide receiver three or desperation flex, but just don't do it. You could pluck off guys off the waiver wire that you should probably have permanently on your team instead of Juju, let alone started him.
If you're listening to this right now or you're watching this and you have Juju Smith-Schuster in your starting lineup, you need to watch more. You need to listen more, because we have been shouting from the rooftops not to roster Juju. Drop him if you can. There's better options on the waiver wire. And just don't start him. Like, point blank, period. What are you doing?
I've said some pretty mean things about Juju in the past on this podcast. So
he's rostered still that. Like almost six, like 55% of leagues he's still rostered in.
Yeah. You're going to have to subscribe to our YouTube or to our Substack to get my wide receiver red lights for this week. It is the fantasy roadshow.substack.com redlightgreenlight.com. You're going to have to check out the weekly article we do, Red Light, Green Light. So I just wanted to tease that. You need to be following. You need to get that article. Comes out Thursdays with the episode. And we're going to continue to pump out when we hit, and we hit big. Last week, Daniel Jones, QB1. The week before, Ryan has him on his red light. He scores 4 points. So, you know, we're not just, you know, three guys behind a mic yelling out players that we don't, you know, we're hitting on these players. So
can we talk a little bit about the Shane O'Mac shocker of the week last week?
Ooh, go ahead, Shane, pump it up.
Tua finished as the QB 26 for the week.
Do we
have a shocker of the week this week, Shane?
Oh, it's
we coming. Do. It's coming. Coming. Oh, it's coming, baby.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
I believe, Shane, I believe you and I both were on Tua as well last week. Like, so, you know, we're all over this and things are hitting. So you got to be, you know, whether you want to consume the content via audio or with, you know, written words. So we have both available to you. So it is thefantasyroadshow.substack.com.
Great plug, Mike. Great plug. All right. So are you all good there, Shane? You got Juju and then Hopkins, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Studs. All right. Well, let's talk about green light wide receivers. My green light wide receiver, it should be no surprise. If you have him on your roster, you're going to want to start him. It's Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua is a monster. He's a dog. And that goes along with Matthew Stafford's doing right now. Matthew Stafford is playing out of his mind. What he did last week against the 49ers needs to be talked about. Nobody expected him to pull that off. And Puka's going against Cincinnati this week. Puka's had a historic start to the season. You know, he's the real deal. Top five wide receiver last week against a premier defense in the 49ers. If Cooper Kupp is not playing, Puka Nacua is like a top 12. He's a wide receiver one. Like, he needs to be considered that. And moving forward, he's a must start when Cooper Kupp is out. That's all I got there. I think Puka needs to be started in all formats.
We talk like about the eyeball test, like sometimes with us, like when you watch him, doesn't it look a lot like Cooper Kupp when he was playing in his prime and getting all those, like the same routes, the same type of catches, the same run after catch? It looks so similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks good.
Mike, how's your eye test? Your prolific eye test, Mike. What is that telling you?
I've been on Puka for a while. Preseason. I think a lot of it has to do with Matthew Stafford too. I mean, he's an absolute stud. So, Hall of Fame quarterback, his arm has still got it. And when he finds someone that he likes, he feeds them well. Part of it's that Puka has that ability to just find space like Cooper Kupp. So if he is open, Stafford is going to find you. Do you remember the vision cones in Madden?
Yeah.
So the vision cone for Matthew Stafford is about the exact opposite of Josh Allen or Justin Fields. Yeah.
The length of the field.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, if you are open, Matthew Stafford's going to drop a ball in there. So that's why he was targeted 20 times. I saw a funny meme on the internet. You know that Spider-Man mm-hmm. pointing emojis? It said Puka Nacua and Dogecoin.
To the moon. That's hysterical. Puka Nacua, you got to start him. Shane, what do you got for green light wide receivers? Please tell me it's not Puka.
It's not Puka. So my first guy is Nico Collins. So probably a guy a couple weeks ago plucked off the waiver wire if you weren't drafted him late, which the Roadshow guys here. I think you guys said that he was your number ranked, highest ranked best ball guy.
Yeah.
You had. So what I love is a couple of things. I mean, 20 targets through two games. That's great. It's not just short yardage. Like, he's first in the NFL in 15 plus yards or more receptions. So he's getting downfield the looks. And then second thing is I like that this matchup this week, like we said before with Pierce, like Houston's going to be in this game script where Stroud's probably throwing the ball again 40 plus times. So he'll be the number one target again this week.
I agree with you. Nico Collins is on my list, Shane. So another one that we share there. I was beating this drum last week. I had Nico Collins on my green light. And he put up in my league, he put up 30 points, but he is the number six wide receiver on the year this year. Like, he is dominating right now, almost 150 yards and a touchdown last week. Welcome to the Nico Collins breakout, everybody. Welcome. Mm-hmm. It's here. Get used to it. Nico Collins is a dog, and he is forming a nice connection with CJ Stroud that should develop as the season goes.
Yeah, I think he's wide receiver six right now.
Yeah, the number six wide receiver on the year. Like, that's.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a top 20 wide receiver, you know?
Yeah.
Which, where was he being drafted? Probably like wide receiver 40.
55?
Yeah.
Deep.
Yeah. So outstanding there. I have Mike Williams talked about Herbert earlier. You know, he definitely saw his usage ramp up, 8 catches last week. He hasn't had that big play quite yet, that 50-yard touchdown. So could it happen against a shitty Vikings team? I think so. I mean, Keenan's just been outstanding. I don't actually know where he is on the wide receiver rankings. I bet you he's what?
I'll pull it up.
Top three, yeah. Top two behind Hill.
He's the wide receiver five.
Five, okay. I'm surprised there's that many ahead of him, to be honest. I mean, I know
Tyreek. Well, I mean, Tyreek Hill, yeah.
Yeah, but Keenan's been outstanding to start the year. So I'd like to see I think Mike Williams gets used a little bit more, continues to get used a little bit more as defenses try to take away Keenan. And then my other one's kind of a no-brainer, but Stephon Diggs, I just think that he hasn't had his, like, massive game yet, like we've seen out of some of these other studs. So I could see him, Bills playing at Commanders, who just gave up 35 to the Broncos. I could see Josh Allen having another massive game, another, 38, 40 points for the Bills, and Diggs getting a couple touchdowns. So I'm just waiting for that huge, huge Diggs game. And I think it's coming this weekend.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Diggs is a beast. And, like you said, he hasn't had that explosive game yet. So it's definitely coming. And this is probably the week he gets it. Shane, who do you got along with Nico Collins?
So my second guy, and offense did not look great this past week, but I'm going with George Pickens versus the Raiders. So a couple of things I'm thinking here, I still like the targets. I think it's almost 20 targets through two games. Obviously, Deontay Johnson's gone. But those first 2 weeks, let's not overlook who they faced. It was the 49ers in week one and the Browns in week two, probably the two toughest defenses to have to go against. And the Raiders it's either last or next to last in passing touchdowns allowed per game this year. And so I just think that, he showed with one play, it's almost Garrett Wilson-esque where he can make a big play even if it's off of one. But I think you're going to see a little bit safer floor even now with him, that he's not facing an extreme tough defense.
Yeah, and Deontay's on the IR. So that puts Deontay out 4 weeks, right? 3 more weeks?
Yep.
Yeah, so at Raiders, at Texans, versus Ravens, at Rams. That's the next four games. I love to see Pickens get going. I mean, you saw it on that touchdown catch of his. I think it was a little bit of a broken zone D, but still, I mean, the way that he caught that ball and then hits that second level of burst, it's like, whoa.
Yep.
So you need to get him the ball more. I don't know what Canada's plans are for that, but it's just he has to highlight that Pickett-Pickens chemistry that is so clear. And probably some of that might look like using Jalen Warren a little bit more in the offense as well. So we'll see what happens.
Did you, I don't know if you guys have tuned into what's going on with Pittsburgh. There was a chant during the game. Did you guys hear the chant? Everyone in unison with fire Canada, fire Canada. And then in the press conference, Mike Tomlin comes out and he's like, oh no, I get it. It's our job to make sure you guys are fat, happy, and spoiled. Totally get it. Like, it was just totally condescending. His eyes were just like burning a hole through your soul. It was hysterical. If you haven't checked it out, definitely do so. It was, I got a good chuckle out of that. It was funny. So yeah, I think that about covers our green light wide receivers. If you guys have anything else you want to add, anybody else on your lists? No. All right, let's move on to tight ends, wrap this up for red light tight ends. Shane, who do you got? And I hope it's not my guy.
I had one guy first, and then I kind of pivoted off of it. And so I'm going, this is going to be like the free space right now for tight ends, but it's Kyle Pitts. I feel like a lot of fantasy owners are just stuck in this limbo position. Like, hey, we drafted him in round 6 or 5 or wherever, and we got to start him. He's too good of a player not to start. We can't drop him for streamer tight end X. But I think it's getting to the point where, you know, it's got to be something maybe you consider.
Shane, I couldn't agree more. He is the only tight end on my list for red light. So to go along with it, Shane, you've had a great episode today. I just want to say all your takes are spot on, buddy. Hey, Culls, if you could pop in the camera over here real quick. I got something I want to talk to you about.
You're starting him in Fantrax League.
Yeah, so we missed out on Hunter Henry. We didn't bid enough, right? Yeah. We got outbid on Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about something because, it's not something that you want to do, but I feel like it's the smart decision. There's somebody on the waiver wire right now sitting there, and his name is Zach Ertz. Okay? Now, hear me out. It's not a good move, like, when you're just looking at it on paper, starting Zach Ertz over Kyle Pitts. But week 1, it was the right move. Week 2, it was the right move. And I have a feeling it's going to be the right move week 3. So,
No. One more week for Pitts. He's playing at Detroit. Like if he can't have a game at Detroit against a team that just gives up 30 points every game, then maybe, but I mean, if Ridder can't throw the ball against Detroit, he's not going to be able to throw the ball all season. So you want to give people 4 weeks. It looks like Pitts is, you know, you can't trust him and he's going to be a bad pick for everyone this year, but this is the one game that you got to at least just say, please talent come through. I don't know, at Detroit, come on.
What's crazy is last week, Jonnu Smith got more targets than he did. I mean, that's...
Arthur Smith, everyone like praises him, but I kind of think he fucking sucks as a coach.
Hot take, watch out. Steaming hot, coming from Coles. Arthur Smith sucks.
He's just not that good of a coach.
But I'll tell you one thing, he can run the goddamn ball pretty well.
Yeah, that's about it. anyways.
All right. Yeah. So we agree. Shane, I'm right there with you, Kyle Pitts. And I am hoping and praying that we survive this week with Pitts in our lineup. And I'm looking forward to him having another down week and we can move on from him. I don't want to keep playing this battle all season long.
All right. Well, if he doesn't have a good game, then you have to cut him. Just drop him from the team. Completely.
I never once said I want to drop him.
But that's
I just
that, well,
don't
want to
start
do.
Him.
No, that's what we're going
to
do.
I don't want to start him.
We're going to eliminate him as an option. Just
yeah, this is like the olden times when they bring in the executioner in.
Yeah,
you're chopping
exactly.
him off next week.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with it.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to do.
Okay. Done deal. Pitts. Be afraid, buddy. You're getting chopped. Yeah. All right, Coles, who do you got for red light tight ends?
Juwan Johnson and Dalton Schultz.
Ooh, okay.
Juwan just hasn't gotten it going yet here in the regular season. I have Derek Carr on my red light list. I think it's just going to be, as we talked about, one of those games that it's going to be tough to get offense going. So pair those two together, and then Schultz. I just don't know that he has like really a role in that offense. I think Stroud really likes Mr. Tank Dell. And I think you're going to see a lot more Tank Dell and a continued less Dalton Schultz. All those kind of, you know, intermediate routes are going to go to Tank. Is kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know. I think Schultz is sort of an odd man out, and just have like, at least in the receiving game. I mean, he can still be that veteran presence in the huddle that, you know, mentors guys and plays tight end, but I don't think he's going to be the type of pass catcher that, you know, he was in Dallas.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the Packers have a pretty good passing defense. And, yeah, Juwan just hasn't really seemed to get it going. And Schultz, originally we thought was going to be a very reliable target for Stroud, but Stroud's really excelling and ascending really well. So he's just kind of surpassing him and moving on to his getting a connection with these receivers, which is great to see. So, yeah, I second those. I think those are great picks. Shane, you got anybody else other than Pitts, or is that the only guy?
No, that's the only one I had.
Me too. Funny. Look at that. All right. So green light tight ends. I got one on my list, and he's Hunter Henry. And I'm almost very tempted to put Zach Ertz on here as well and just tell you guys, start Zach Ertz and sit Kyle Pitts. And hopefully that pays off, and we'll see how that works out. But my main guy is Hunter Henry. We see the connection. He scored a touchdown in each of the last two games. He is the go-to target for Mac Jones. And if the Patriots have any sort of chance in winning this game, it'll be on the back of Hunter Henry. So I think Hunter Henry is a great start, and I should have bid more on that waiver pickup.
I also have Hunter Henry. And I also think that he should be the person that you have the Swift grudge for, because you are so high on Gesicki. He should be the one that you should be grudging on.
There's no grudge. No grudge.
All right. Well, I have Hunter Henry. I agree. He's Max guy.
Shane, let me guess. You got Hunter Henry on your green light list?
I do not. So I'm digging deeper here, and this is the Shane O'Mac shocker of the week.
Ooh, watch out.
All right. So I am going with, and you know, and if you're in the streaming tight end thing week to week, this is the guy I'm calling to be a top 10 tight end finish this week. And it is Cade Otton versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And so a couple things. What I like is, you know, last week I liked his he got six catches. So, you know, he got his routes and catches up a little bit. And, you know, shockingly, when I was looking, the Eagles have given up the most points to fantasy tight ends through 2 weeks so far this year. So I just think Baker may be starting to establish a little bit of connection, safety valve with him. They'll be throwing the ball behind. You cannot run on Philadelphia. You can throw on them, but you cannot run on them. So they're going to be left to throw the ball on Monday night.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a huge night from Evans, Godwin, both. So I could see Otten getting some of that. And definitely an interesting pick. Definitely a shocker.
Yeah, that is on the scale of shocker, just as shocking as week two's Tua pick. So Shane, I love it. Keep up the great work, buddy. That is awesome. And I got to get you a graphic. I got to get you a drop over here somewhere. I got to get something. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Yeah,
shocker definitely. Of the week. We gotta do. I'll workshop some stuff. We'll get it going.
Okay.
All right. Well, go ahead, Mike. You got anything else?
Yeah, I was just gonna say I will give you the props and say that it was awesome when Kate Otten hits. We can't be giving the Shane O'Mac props until they hit, because otherwise he's just gonna go for the shock factor. He's gonna pull out. He's gonna pull out Tyson. He's gonna pull out Tyson Baguette. What's his name? next week.
Yeah. So you got an uphill battle with Otten here and Cotton. Yeah, it's, I mean, very possible. Cotton. Yeah, Cotton. Cotton. Kate Otten. C. Otten. Kate got Cotton. Yeah. So Cotton. We're good to go there. Yeah.
I have David Njoku.
Njoku. Man, he looks so good on the football field. Like, he's just bigger than everybody.
Yeah. I just think he has looked pretty good catching the ball. I think that the Browns are going to beat the Titans. Again, they have a good run defense. So I think Ford's going to be fine, but you know, between Watson trying to calm a lot of these anxieties that he's not the same quarterback as he was in Houston, I can see the Browns trying to expose them in the passing game. And Njoku's someone who's just so big, as you said, over the middle. He's got to establish that connection. And I just think he does this week against the Titans. So I want to see a touchdown out of Njoku and, you know, maybe 70 yards, six catches, 70 yards on a touchdown.
I get that. Njoku looks great. I totally agree there. I want to mention an honorable mention here. I got a notification and I was kind of curious to see how this was going to play out, but Kendre Miller is a full participant. He is fully healthy, ready to go this week. Going against Green Bay in Green Bay. Green Bay has allowed the third most rushing yards to opponents through the first 2 weeks. I knew somebody in this backfield was going to eat with the Saints, and this could be Kendre Miller's, hey, welcome to the NFL game, you know, kind of a breakout game. So that's what I anticipate. If you have Kendre Miller and you're hurting at running back, don't be afraid to start him this week against Green Bay. I think they're looking for someone to carry the ball.
Yep, I like that. I mean, Tony Jones had some production, and Tony Jones is
– Tony Jones fucking sucks.
What are we talking about here?
Love it, Shane. What are we talking Tony about Jones. Here? Get him out of here.
Tony Jones fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know how many starts he's had, but it's been what feels like quite a few.
A handful.
Yeah, and it's just never been – noteworthy at all.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what Kendre Miller's got. I was excited about him in this offseason in Dynasty. I have him. So I'll be watching that game pretty closely, and hopefully he can have a good game. But other than that, if you guys got anything else, I think we're all good to wrap it up here. Thank you everybody for watching, listening, paying attention out there. Remember to follow our socials at Fantasy Trucker, at @S.McCormick_FF, at @Coles_sports. Follow the show at Fantasy Roadshow. Follow the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. That's where you're going to get this article that comes out by Kohl's, the red light, green light. It has a description and more explanation from everything we've mentioned today in an article format. And then also I did want to mention, this show is going live Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, all primetime games. Kohl's and I and Shane and pop in every once in a while too. We're live at 7:30 Central Standard Time. Come join us, ask us questions, hit us up with some trade talks, and enjoy the fun. So just want to mention that. Do you guys have anything else you want to add?
Did you say 7:30 tomorrow night, Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, Thursday Night Football, 7:30. We're going live, buddy, live.
I do have something I'd like to mention. So just saw a tweet. Tyson Bagent, seeing some starts for the Bears this season, is reportedly thought to be a real possibility by many NFL scouts. Many scouts believe that Justin Fields' ability to see the field is still severely underdeveloped and is yet to be fixed. Fields has yet to throw for over 320 yards in a game since he was in high school. Bagent, a zero-star recruit turned Division II quarterback, may see his number called sooner rather than later.
Oh my God!
That's not real, is it? That's not real. You draft a first-round quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. You draft a first-round quarterback in Justin Fields. Neither one of them panned out. This is not a quarterback problem. It's an organizational problem. It's a coaching problem. It's a developing problem. You're not just going to bring in somebody and be like, oh, this guy's the guy. No, it's you guys. It's the coaching. It's the scouting. It's everything. Yeah, Fields is underperforming. He's not playing well. He's not seeing the field well. He's not being decisive. He has no confidence. But that's also on the coaches. That's not entirely on him. So that's, if that happens, dude, I don't know what I'll do, but it'll be something you want to tune in and find out. So
follow-up question. Do you have a Justin Fields jersey?
I have a Justin Fields jersey. Yes, I do. I wear it from time to time. But I don't know what I'm going to do here. Shane, I'm going to clue you in on something, okay? I was in the shower the other day, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? Like, I need to set aside my Bears fandom, okay? This season is going down rather quickly, and I'm tired of wearing my Bears gear every Sunday and watching that game. And I'll tell you what, man. I think I'm going to order a Dallas Cowboys hat, and I'm going
to go
repping that Cowboys hat. We them boys.
Let's
go. I'm rooting for the Cowboys, and I'm rooting for them to win the Super Bowl. I love Micah Parsons. I love Tony Pollard. I love what the Cowboys are doing this year. Mike McCarthy's got these boys humming, and I am joining the bandwagon of the boys, and Bears suck. And I'm tired of being disappointed every week. I'm setting it aside. And I'm making that statement.
When this happens, we got to have a live show, like a signing day, where Truck's going to have the jersey out. He's going to take off his Fields jersey, and he puts on his Micah Parsons jersey.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout.
Maybe moving forward, no Bears quarterback jerseys, just in case.
You know what? I'm just going to buy a nice classic Urlacher jersey. And that's just moving forward. That's the jersey I wear when I go to Bears games and when I watch the Bears, if I'm anticipating a good game. Other than that, if it's going to be a bad game, I'm not wearing this in public. I am not going to be, I'm not going to feel the shame that I felt through the first 2 weeks. And I'm tired of it. I think I can speak for every Chicago fan. It's just, it's tiring, and I'm done with it. So, Shane, we them boys.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right, everybody, thank you for joining. We appreciate you guys. You're the best fans, the best roadies out there. Keep up the great work, you guys. And Shane, close us out, buddy.
Buckle up.